at church camp when we had it at Camp Erdman. We had just finished our Saturday night meal in the cafeteria when two civil defense workers came in dressed in their yellow safety vests and announced that there was a big swell and the waves were 25 feet high and for nobody even to walk on the beach because it was so dangerous. We reassured them that we wouldn't do that and proceeded to have our evening meeting. About half an hour later, a young man in his 20s ran into the cafeteria in swim shorts with sand on his feet and in a rather panicked fashion asked us if we could help him because he and some of his buddies had been out swimming and one of them had failed to come back to shore. We promptly called 911, and fortunately we had several strong young men in our group who were experienced surfers. They grabbed their surfboards and we went down to the spot where the young man had gone in the water and been lost. Our young men promptly went in a fearless manner, and we learned that the group was a group of military guys who were camping on the beach for the night and had been drinking and then decided to go in swimming. When we arrived there, we realized how impossible the conditions were with these humongous waves that produced a thundering roar and the pitch black night. It was impossible to see or hear anything. Fortunately, the military guys had a Jeep and they were able to drive it up on the sand and put the lights on high beam, and this produced some light out into the ocean where they had been in swimming. We all felt helpless, stood around and trying to think what we could do, and prayed and waited for the fire truck to arrive. The fire truck did arrive, but it had no equipment, no boat, no jet ski, nothing except a fireman with a surfboard who also went in. So now we had four men in the water on surfboards. As time went by, they came in one at a time saying they couldn't see or hear anything. So fortunately, they were all saved, but the young man was still missing. Our son Dennis was with us at that camp and on the beach, and he went to a corner and prayed, and he was inspired to go down the beach in the direction of the sun and the current, the wind and the current. And so he ran off about half a mile down the beach away from the crowd and the light. And then he thought he heard a voice, so he kept running and running, and eventually he saw a head bobbing around in the breakwater. If any of you have been in those huge waves, you know that the drawback in the water is extremely powerful, and it's difficult to maintain your footing without getting swept back out to sea. He saw the young man struggling in the breakwater, and he went in and was able to assist him out safely and help him walk along the beach to where the crowd was gathered. Of course, we were joyous that he was saved, and we stood around in a group not sure what to say to him, whether to chide him for going in swimming in these terrible conditions after he'd been drinking alcohol, but of course nobody said that. But the one thing that was said by Denny Kaneshiro's young son, who at that point was about 5 years old, he walked up to the rescued young man and said, "Do you know that Jesus loves you?" And the young man responded, "Yes, now I do." And next morning at breakfast, a group of those campers came to our cafeteria to thank us for helping them and praying for them. So the point of this message is that children can do important things. Okay. Now, Dylan Mee Lee will now give a talk. A sermon.
How my great-great-grandmother became a Seventh-day Adventist. My great-great-grandmother, Mrs. Hahn, was born in a small town in Australia in 1888. She had 7 daughters and 2 sons. They owned and ran a large store in a country town. Saturday was the busiest day as most of the customers were farmers. The Hahns had no religion because Mrs. Hahn had such a large family. She had many helpers in the house. One of these ladies was a washerwoman named Mrs. Lockyer. Mrs. Lockyer was different. She would not take home any of the extra supplies. She was honest. She never complained about her crippled husband. She was content and at peace. She willingly performed every task. She sang hymns as she worked and would speak of Jesus. She would pray for Mrs. Hahn and good things would happen. She was a Seventh-day Adventist. Mrs. Hahn started studying the Bible herself. She and the younger children began attending Sabbath school, but Mr. Hahn and the older children had to run the store on the very busy Saturdays if they were to survive the hard times. If they closed the business on Saturdays, they would most likely lose customers and their income. But Mrs. Hahn and the younger children were enjoying the Sabbath services and their lives were changing. Eventually Harry was convinced that the whole family should worship God on Sabbath, despite the financial result. Leading up to that first Sabbath store closure was very scary for the whole family. They were not sure what would happen, but trusted that God was in charge. During the week, they put up signs to let their customers know that the store would be closed on Saturday, but would open after sunset for a few hours. They all went to Sabbath school and church and waited after Sabbath to go down to the store. To their amazement, there was a long line of faithful customers waiting at the doors, eager to do their after-Sabbath shopping at the Hahn store. And the store flourished and grew from that point on for many years and always closed on Sabbath. From the food department of that store, Eric Hahn became an Adventist health minister in Australia and North America. From the radio department, Edward Hahn became a professor at Loma Linda and Yale and invented the fetal heart monitor. Many other doctors, dentists, lawyers, and others have served around the world. Maisie Hahn founded the Asian Aid Organization, now with headquarters in Australia and the USA and has helped many people in several Asian countries. Mrs. Lockyer's Christian example as a washerwoman made a difference in the lives and ministry of the Han family. In many quiet ways, we can serve our God as well. Pathfinders gives us practical tools by which we can serve Him better. Thank you. Amen.
God loves you more than you think. One Friday, I was sitting in my favorite chair in our family room, and I heard a tweet tweet, and I thought to myself, it sounds like a little bird. I looked around and thought maybe there was a toy that had started up, but soon I heard it again. When my sister came in, she listened too, and there was no doubt about the sound. So she opened the door to slow combustion heater, and there was a little bird who evidently had fallen down the chimney. My sister was afraid that it wouldn't be able to fly, so she took it out of the back burner. I took out a little cooked rice for it, but it took off, quite obviously all right, and scrambled across the grass. Two other birds arrived, and they flew off together. I thought about what Jesus said about the sparrows in Matthew 10:29-31. Remember that God never loses sight of you. Look at the sparrows and see how little they are valued, and yet not one of them dies without God noticing it. In fact, God even knows the number of hairs you have on your head. So don't worry, be afraid. You're worth more than a whole sky full of sparrows. I thought of this song, He Loves Me Too. God sees the little sparrow fall. He meets his tender view. If God so loves the little birds, I know he loves me too. He paints the lily of the field, perfumes each lily bell. If he loves the little flower, I know he loves me too. God made the little bird and flower and all things large and small. He'll not forget his little ones. I know he loves them all. He loves me too, he loves me too. I know he loves me too. Because he loves the little things, I know he loves me too.
This is about why I'm a Pathfinder. It started when I was 5. A newly invested, busy bee. I was in the back of the gym, Thunderbird Academy, trying to sting the sunbeams, second graders, while avoiding their burning rays. I saw that you could achieve things. I saw that there was a path to take, and I was on the first rung. 4 years later, I sat in the chapel listening to them describing the Pathfinder program that was coming to Spokane, wondering if they would round me up. I was 9 years, 7 months, not quite old enough to be a Pathfinder. But they did. They rounded me up. For the next 4 years, I was a Pathfinder. Not an especially good Pathfinder. When our travoy crossed the finish line at the camporee, it had fallen apart. I never paid attention when they were teaching us how to do lashing. If we went on a hike, I was most likely to get lost. My leaders worked especially hard on the orienteering honor with me. One of our assistant counselors, his name was Mr. Panky. In heaven, his crown will be especially shiny. I went to high school. I went to college. Some years I had off. I worked with the Pathfinder clubs. I had my boys. when they asked what they were going to do, they would tell their parents, "We're going out to eat weeds." I experienced their joy as, after coming through a dense forest, we arrived at exactly the right spot because we were following our compasses. I experienced the grief when the rockets we'd made a little too well went through that part in the clouds, never to be seen again. I have a lot of experiences, a lot of stories to share. Sleeping in ice caves, bicycling through the San Juan Islands, coming in first, second, and third at the camporee when there was only three of us in the club, attending Oshkosh with 30,000 other Pathfinders, and seeing my son stand when a call was given for those that wanted to be Christian leaders. I'm about 50 now, but I'm not done being a Pathfinder. My grandparents were buried in their uniforms. How about you? Do you want to have some stories to tell? Do you want to have some experiences in your life? Do you want to have a Pathfinder heart? If so, I'd ask you to stand just now. Stand with me. Attention. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. By the grace of God, I will be pure. I will be kind. I will be true. I will keep the Pathfinder law. I will be a servant of God and a friend to man. You can lower your arms. Thank you. And I pray that you, too, will have a Pathfinder heart.